You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 96. And these weekly episodes come round so fast. Funnily enough, it seems like only 7 days ago that I was sitting in this chair by the microphone recording the last show, and the weeks fly. Instead of a guest this episode, I've got a number of different things that I think will interest most of you listening in. First of all, just to give you a feeling for what's coming up, first of all, we're going to get an update from Linda, who was my guest in episode 89, to find out what's been happening for her since she had her dream interpreted as a guest on the show. Then we're going to look at some driving dreams. You know, when you get in a car in a dream and you're not the driver, when there are other people in the driving seat and you maybe reach your destination or maybe don't, quite a common dream theme. And we're going to have a little look at that, what it means in general to be driven around in cars, what it says about your life. Then we're going to take a similar kind of theme and look at a specific dream that somebody once phoned into a radio station when I was doing talk back there. And she had phoned about a dream about catching trains. So if you've had a dream about catching trains, there'll be something in there for you for that. And finally, I took a random dip into my book, The Compass, which many regular listeners will know is a book of 365 pages available for random dips. And it's a book for people that don't necessarily remember their dreams. So it's a way of using synchronicity to open the book at random, get a kind of reading on what's happening in waking life, some thoughts, some ways, some questions to explore what may or may not be happening in your unconscious mind, and in particular, an alchemy exercise to do. So not a dream alchemy exercise because there's no dream, but a waking alchemy exercise. So I've picked that at random, thinking I'll pick something that maybe will be applicable to everyone listening today. and the one I've picked does look like it kind of fits in with the rest of the show and has an alchemy practice that is one of those that is really good for everybody to do no matter what's happening. So hang in there to the end of the show if you'd really want something practical to do that will have quite a good positive outcome in your life. And we all enjoy plenty of that, don't we? So talking about wonderful positive outcomes in your life, let's start at the top with Linda from episode 89. Now, episode 89 was only last month, and Linda was my guest that phoned. She had a dream that involved a bolt of lightning, and at the end of the dream, she had a tree that went up in flames. And just to jog your memory a little bit more, you may remember the half the tin of green paint. Anyway, you can go back to 89 and listen to Linda telling me about her dream, and you can listen to us interpreting the dream, and you can listen to Linda saying, yes, that reflects my life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? And you can get right to the end of episode 89 and listen to the bit where I give Linda her dream alchemy practice. Now, because she's an artist, I suggested that she paint a picture of a phoenix rising from the ashes. Now, there were lots of reasons to set that as a dream alchemy practice for Linda to do, but mostly they played into the part of her dream where, you know, there was a bolt of lightning and the sky lit up and the lightning hit a tree and the tree burned. And putting all those things together, there was an element in Linda's dream about, you know, she was a bit burned out, but by the same token, after the fire, you get the regeneration of the forest, you get the new growth coming through. So there was a lot to Linda's dream and a lot that she could relate to. And I felt, and she agreed in the episode, that if she went away and painted a picture of the phoenix and brought into that some of the elements of the lightning bolts and the rising from the ashes and the growth that comes from something when we're really feeling burnt out and we're really ready to start again, that she would begin to pull some of the elements of the dream together and come through in a different way. So she just sent me this week an image of her beautiful painting. And you can go to my blog and see that. My blog address, of course, is www.janetheresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And if you're listening to this in real time, you'll see it up blogged this week. If you're listening back to this podcast much later, just look for late February 2011 and you'll see Linda's Phoenix painting. And this is what she said when she sent the email. She said, "Putting the feelings and symbols from the dream into a concrete form that I can look at and be reminded of has been so helpful. The changes in my waking life since the interpretation have been tremendous. I'm feeling a much greater sense of calm and confidence in my life due to the decisions that the dream, along with your interpretation, helped me to make. Working on the painting was cathartic and powerful, and I sold another painting during this process." So that was the feedback that Linda, that was a part of the feedback that Linda was, wanted me to share with you. And when you do go back and listen to episode 89, you'll also hear Linda talking about her artwork. She is a well-regarded artist, and she was talking about, and we were referencing the dream, people buying her paintings. So it's also quite significant that while Linda was painting her Dream Alchemy painting on the Phoenix, she actually sold a painting. While she was really focused not on selling paintings, but on doing her Dream Alchemy practice. Now, not everyone is a gifted artist, but it's interesting that a surprising number of my clients are either professional artists, you know, painters, writers, musicians, or they discover their artistic skills during the course of their work with me. You know, whether that's a single reading that I'm giving people or whether I'm working with people over a number of weeks with life coaching, you know, working on their dreams and other aspects of their life. And many times I've experienced the sheer joy of being shown a piece of Dream Alchemy artwork, you know, over a Skype cam during a consultation or emailed me to, you know, as an image. Or the joy of seeing my clients' works appear in print or in a blog form in the public domain. And that's only a joy doubled as the client typically relates the fun they had creating the art and that a joy trebled in witnessing the waking life results that naturally follow. And so I'm beginning to think, you know, maybe not this year, but maybe sometime we should get some of these artwork, Dream Alchemy artwork pieces together and hold an exhibition offline or online. Anyway, moving along, have you ever dreamed of being driven in a car? If you have, and even if you haven't, I've peppered this article with some questions for you to ponder. So this is for everyone. This is actually a Dream Site article that I originally wrote and that I also wrote in March 2008. It's called Driven. What drives you to get out of bed in the morning? Hunger for food? A full bladder? A sense of duty? A need to earn money? A passion for your work? Your baby's cry? Fear of being late for work? Hunger for success? Or a sense of adventure? Before listening on, have a think about all the things that get you moving during a typical day. As well as some of those I've just mentioned, you know, perhaps you're driven by love, sex, exercise, chocolate, alcohol, drugs, helping other people, a need for order, curiosity, a wish to learn, friendship, self-improvement, high drama, a need to impress, a need to be right, to feel valued, to set a score, to atone, to hide, to be seen. That's just some examples. You take some time and write a little list of some of the things that you think drive you through a typical day. Then take a moment to list the top 10 things that drive you through a typical day. Write them down. So it's easy to see how your drives affect how you act each day. Hunger drives you to find and eat food. Thirst drives you to reprioritize all other plans while you find and drink fluid of some kind. A caffeine addiction drives you to plan your whole morning around the required number of coffee, tea, or Coke hits. A need to be right drives you to argue the point instead of negotiating a win-win situation or learning something new. If you're driven to help others, you may avoid asking for help. If you're driven by a sense of adventure, you'll take risks. And if you're driven by a need for high drama to keep life interesting, you'll stir it up good. All of this is easy to understand. Our drives ultimately dictate our actions, and our actions dictate the outcomes of our lives. But stop right there. It's all well and good to acknowledge what drives you and to see how it affects the way you go about your life, but what about those drives you don't know about? Your unconscious drives, those deeply embedded beyond your awareness, have a strong grip of the wheel. In any battle between the drives you know about, your conscious drives, and your unconscious drives, the unconscious wins. Imagine, for example, feeling driven to succeed in your career, making all the right moves, getting excited about the prospects, heading for the right goals, yet having a conflicting unconscious drive to avoid commitments of all kinds, including commitment to career. In this scenario, you're likely to wonder why things never quite succeed in the way you imagined, why unforeseen circumstance seems to conspire against you at the very last moment, why bad luck seems to dog you, and why, if you listen very carefully, you hear a whisper of relief at the back of your mind as you think, oh well, at least I'm free to... whatever. This is where dreams come in. And in a simple, easy to interpret way too. Have you ever dreamed of being in a car, in the passenger or back seat, with someone else driving? It's a common dream. The person driving the car, the person driving you somewhere, represents a driving force in your life at the time of the dream. It's usually a car. You know, we drive cars, and as dreams often use wordplay, cars can symbolize your drive or motivation. The person behind the wheel symbolizes the prime driving force. However, your driving force might be driving any vehicle in your dream or driving an animal, you know, riding it or shepherding it even. If you dream of being driven by someone you know, your father perhaps, then ask yourself if you're driven by your father's expectations or by the kinds of beliefs your father subscribed to. Now remember, we're talking unconscious drives here, so you may think you're very different from your father, but if your father's driving you in your dreams, then there is an aspect of your father driving you deep in your unconscious. Once you think about this possibility and examine your life for evidence of its effect, you'll see it. That's the way you catch an unconscious drive, getting the clue from a dream and then collecting the evidence from your waking life. You can then decide whether this drive is working for you or against you, and disable it if you wish. As soon as you're aware of an unconscious drive, it's no longer unconscious, so it loses its power. From that point forward, you can observe the way you respond in life and question the driving force behind your response. And of course, for enduring results, you can apply dream alchemy practices. When interpreting a driving dream, write down three words to describe the personality or approach of the person driving your dream vehicle. For example, if Jack, an acquaintance of yours, is driving your car, you might write proud, dutiful, reliable for your three words. Ask yourself if, at the time of your dream, your actions have been driven by pride, duty, or reliability. It's likely to be at least one of the three on your list. Look for evidence in your life, especially in the day or two before your dream. What actions did you take that could be explained by pride, duty, or reliability. Now, it may also be that your actions were based on the opposites to pride, duty, or reliability, you know, but when you're driven by the opposite of pride, it's sometimes because pride is an issue for you. So really examine those three words very carefully and ask yourself that question. What actions did you take that could be explained by the three words you came up with? For example, for Jack, pride, duty, or reliability. What if your dream car is driven by someone you don't know in waking life? Your dream driver's character will have been evident in the dream by the actions taken, you know, the way you were treated or the gut feel you got from that person. So, for example, if your dream driver seemed really helpful, perhaps even over the top helpful, then it's likely that you were driven by an unconscious need to help at the time of your dream. In this example, if the dream worked out well, then all is good. But if the dream did not work out well or remained unresolved, then ask yourself why you're driven to help others and why this might not be literally getting you anywhere. If your driver isn't getting you anywhere in your dream, then that drive isn't getting you anywhere in your life. Your dream driver might take you back to your past. Your dream driver might take you back to perhaps your school days, somewhere you used to work or live in your dream. And this often indicates the origin of the drive. So if your dream driver takes you back to the school you used to go to in your dream, you can be pretty certain that that drive that's become so important to you and lodged itself in your unconscious kicked in when you were back at school. Of course, the dream always reflects the 24 to 48 hours before your dream. So to dream of, you know, being driven by a past drive means that it came up for you in the day or two before the dream. We think of drive as a positive thing, don't we? You know, it's good to have drive to be motivated. But we can be driven by negative as well as positive factors. We can be driven by greed, by a need to dominate, by a need to avoid feeling or issue. We can be driven to prove ourselves to someone, to sabotage our plans, to avoid the things we think success will bring. We can be driven to appease, to suffer the pain we think we deserve. There's a difference between driving and being driven. But is there a difference between having drive and being driven? Maybe, maybe not. But I can guarantee that if you take this question and contemplate it today, you'll be wiser by bedtime and set up to dream of drives yet to be revealed. And it's funny, you know, because I picked that article to read to you and I read the opening paragraph and I kind of remembered the gist of the article and I thought, yeah, that's great. I'll print it out. I'll speak it on this podcast, but you're going to smile when we get to the compass reading that I picked randomly at the end, because it ties into that in many ways and you'll see why when we get there. But first of all, I promised also to look at a dream which someone phoned into a radio show that I once did, and it's a dream about catching trains. So it's, you know, not being driven by a car driver, but perhaps being driven by a train. As many of you know, I've done hundreds and hundreds of, maybe even thousands actually, of radio talkback. And occasionally, since I've had a blog, and by the way, did I mention my blog address? www.janetheresa.com. Occasionally, I've picked a dream that a caller has called into a radio program and blogged the story. And this is one of those. This was when I was doing interpretation on Radio 2UE in Sydney, and I blogged this one back in October 2010. Here's what I wrote. Vanessa called Radio 2UE when I was interpreting dreams on Tim Webster's afternoon show earlier this month to ask about her recurring dream, which she'd been having for 6 months. She was intrigued because a previous caller had asked about her recurring dream of never being able to find the right train station or catch the train, and I had said that this was a common dream related to not getting going with goals or taking the wrong approach, and that exploring these dreams reveals the personal reasons why each dreamer is experiencing these blocks. But I do get to the right train stations, said Vanessa, and I catch the right trains or buses, planes and taxis in my dreams. But for 6 months, none of these dream vehicles have got me home, and I'm left in the dream feeling distressed about not being able to get home. As with any recurring dream, the issue the dream is reflecting can be traced back to the first time you had the dream. So Vanessa's dream related to an issue that began 6 months ago and was still troubling her. Do you feel that you're on track, I asked, following the goals you set yourself, but somehow not getting time to yourself, as if you're not finding that special place within your heart where you feel at home and at peace with the world? It hit home. Excuse the pun. Vanessa related to this, and this had indeed been the situation for the past 6 months. Understanding a dream brings us awareness, and that awareness can help us to make better decisions for ourselves. This can be accelerated by applying dream alchemy, and I suggested to Vanessa that for her dream alchemy, she visualize herself back in the dream on the train, only this time arriving home, imagining the best possible kind of home, both in the material sense and in the emotional sense. And what this does is train, excuse the pun again, Vanessa's unconscious mind to become comfortable with permitting herself to enjoy coming home to her heart. This done, she will find herself taking waking life actions that support and therefore manifest this. Home is where the heart is, if only we allow ourselves access. And so we come to the compass reading. And I opened the book at random and asked, as I did so, for a reading that would be really great to go down on this podcast. And out of the 365 readings, I got number 92. And the title of number 92 was Ask for Help. So when I was reading that driven article to you, there were several examples there of being driven by a need to ask for help. Being driven by a need to help other people. And then when I actually gave an example towards the end of the article of someone driving a car, I gave the example of, you know, if you're driven by someone who, you know, in the dream is really wants to help everybody, then this could be a drive within you of really wanting to help other people. So here I am smiling and laughing at synchronicity again. And I really shouldn't smile because I do understand how this works. But here we go. This is called Ask for Help. Now, because the structure of these readings from the compass poses questions for you to contemplate, you might want to get a pen or a pencil, and you might want to pause the podcast and actually answer the questions as you go. And of course, at the end, it gives you an alchemy practice, which I encourage every single one of you to go and do. It's easy to do, and you will find the results extremely, helpful? Yes, I will. Helpful. Number 92, ask for help. Why? When you're self-sufficient, you miss the opportunity to relate. Clarity. When was the last time you asked for help? Where in your life are you most self-sufficient? What is your greatest task right now? Which is the hardest part of that task? What kind of help would make this easier? Imagine asking for this help. How does this make you feel? What fears does it bring up for you? What new challenges might arise for you if you ask for help? How would you feel if the people who helped suggested new ways of performing the task. What might you discover? And when you've explored your answers to those questions, which I designed to help you maybe work out what blocks or limitations you might have, what limited unconscious beliefs you might have about asking for help, you then move on to the alchemy practice. So here it is. You have been granted an imaginary assistant to be at your beck and call. He or she is the perfect assistant. He knows how to do things exactly the way you like them done. And when you're feeling tired or stuck, he knows how to come up with new ideas and solutions you will simply love. Choose a name for him or her. Now take some paper and draw up a contract, a list of 10 tasks that are his or hers to perform during the course of every month. Put the contract in a prominent place. 1 month later, that's 4 weeks from today, choose one of the 10 tasks and ask a real person or organization to help you with this. And now you'll actually be surprised at how easy that is when you ask by then, because what happens is during that month of looking at that contract and contemplating it and allowing your dreams and your waking mind to process the answers to those questions I gave you, you will find that you magically find yourself by the pure alchemy of writing that contract and reading it every day and imagining having an assistant, that you will find yourself in 4 weeks' time finding it really easy to not only ask for help for one of those 10 tasks, but more importantly, perhaps, to know who as a person or an organization to ask. And you'll find that there are no blocks there to asking, and therefore you will receive. So lots and lots to think about in today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you're encouraged, particularly with the podcasts which don't involve interpreting a dream for a guest, which are packed with a lot of solid information, help and questions and thoughts. I do hope that you maybe replay these several times to really get the full benefit from them. And I do hope also that you share them with friends and colleagues that you think may benefit from them as well. So thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. As far as I know, we've got a guest booked in for next week's show, ready to have her dream interpreted. And remember that we're always looking for guests. So if you've got a dream that you would like to bring to the show and have interpreted, of course, this does mean that you don't have to pay a fee to have your dream interpreted by me. You can come on the show, and it's very simple to do. We simply phone you at an appointed time and record you telling me about your dream, and we record us discussing your dream and me interpreting it, and you can get the kind of wonderful results that Linda, for example, as we discussed at the beginning of this podcast, got in her life in only a few weeks. So that's something to think about too. Of course, if you want to find out more about my work, or you're listening to this podcast for the first time, as well as my blog, there is my general website at www.dream.net.au, where you can go for lots of free resources. And you can also go there to find out how to consult me professionally, either for a one-off reading on your dream, or over a number of weeks to do some life coaching with me, which is a kind of dream-based thing to do. And you can also read testimonials there from other people that have been through the process. So that's it for today. Of course, you know where to find me on Facebook. Come over there and say hello too. And I'll see you. Have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you for another episode of The Dream Show in just 7 days. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.